give things, you give away draft picks to do it.
I
This
know.
is telling my buddy. It's like the equivalent of going to a car dealership and saying, "Dude, this car's way underpriced. Hey, can I give you $10,000 more for this? Because you're not getting enough value."
Cheers, Bears fans. This is Bears Barroom Radio. I am a shocked and confused Aldo Gandia, and that was, of course, Jose Cotto, the senior Bears analyst at bearsbarroom.com. The Bears have just traded a 2017 and 2018 third-round pick, that's two third-rounders, plus a fourth-rounder to move up one slot to choose Mitchell Trubisky, the 6'2", 222-pound quarterback from North Carolina. Thank you, Jose, for being on our special edition of Bears Barroom Radio to get instant analysis of this move by Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Bears. Tell me first, Jose, how are you feeling?
Well, draft day for me, it's like Christmas morning. You know, you're excited all day and you don't know what you're going to get. Or, you know, when you go on that first date and you're trying to get in her pants and that anticipation when you're going to get her bra for the first time, but you don't know what's under there, but you're excited. Well, today was like that, but you finally get her bra off and there's a dick under there. There's a dick staring you in the face. How does that happen? Not only is there a dick staring you in the face, but you took her to the fanciest restaurant in town and you paid triple to get a dick in your face.
After you took the panties down, there was a dick in your face. I thought you were going to
No, you took the bra off. There was a dick in your face. Like a real big surprise.
Oh, man. Well, that actually happened to me, not a dick, but it was a bunch of tissue, you know? It's like, holy shit. Did you have a cold or something, lady?
You know.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, you getting the flying saucer nipples with small boobs, that's always weird, but, you know, you can work past it. So, you know, had they taken somebody else and given up that much, you know, you work past it. But yeah, we talked about this yesterday on our podcast. You know, the one guy that I'd be upset about taking at three would be Trubisky. I also mentioned Fournette, but I didn't really think that was a possibility. But with Trubisky, I mean, I'd have been upset, but I do feel that he could develop into a starter at some point, and I would have gotten over it. But giving up the assets that they did, giving up the third-round pick this year, fourth-round pick this year, and an additional third-round pick next year, I just feel like it was way too rich to move up one spot in the draft. I don't understand how one third-round pick this year doesn't do it. And, I mean, I feel like Solomon Thomas was going to be the 49ers pick anyway. As soon as when the draft started, I started getting that feeling. But felt like if they did go quarterback, I didn't feel like they were going to go Mitch Trubisky. So I was pretty damn shocked. When they moved up, I assumed quarterback, yes, but I didn't think it was going to be Trubisky.
Well, and Ryan Pace says that he wanted a quarterback. That quarterback demonstrated that he elevated the program. Did Trubisky elevate the North Carolina program?
I think it's very debatable because that team is always, you know, middle of the pack, you know, 500 type team. I don't know that he made them any better than Marquise Williams did. I don't think he did. And, you know, as the end of the year approached and teams started to gather more film on him and he goes into the bowl game, he started to play worse and worse, and that's very concerning to me. Now, there were a lot of things on tape that I was concerned about, but, you know, there are obviously positives with him. But no, I have to say that I don't feel like he did elevate the program. I don't know that he took them any further than Marquise Williams would have. Now, if you want to say, well, did he elevate them more than, you know, a lower level quarterback or a quarterback of lesser talent, then yeah, maybe you can argue that. But the quarterback that was in place before him was just as effective.
Now, when you look at the tape, what is it that you see that are positives, and what do you see that are negatives? Now, you're the expert at this, but when I looked at the tape, I saw a guy whose mechanics were as bad as Patrick Mahomes in terms of his footwork and him falling back on throws and him relying on his arm. He looked like he had a very strong arm. But you're the expert. Tell me what you see that is good about Trubisky and what is not so good.
So I'll start with what I did like, because let's try to give the Bears fans some silver lining here and something positive. And I know by the time people are listening to this, a lot of them will have accepted the selection, and they're just going to be pulling for him, and anyone who has anything negative to say about him by tomorrow or the following day is just an idiot. But the positives for me are he's a big kid with very good athleticism. He's very mobile. That's something that wasn't talked about enough with him. He's a great athlete. I mean, I think his athleticism is right up there with any of the quarterbacks in this draft, aside from Josh Dobbs, who I think is a slightly better athlete. His ability to move around in the pocket and the things that you'll be able to do with him because of that athleticism, moving pocket, bootlegs, utilizing play action and utilizing him on rollouts. Those are all positives for the offense. And those are things that will help if he's forced to play early, because those types of plays, you have a lot of half field reads. So those are all positives. I think he has an adequate arm. I do think he does have some issues with the deep ball. His accuracy is definitely a plus, and on intermediate throws and shorter throws, I thought he was pretty accurate and most of the time did hit his receivers in stride. As far as the negatives, there are times that the athleticism is a drawback, where he's throwing on the run and he isn't utilizing great mechanics, not setting his feet, and delivery tends to get a little bit funky, and he'll have some ball sail and some inaccurate throws. There were a number of throws that I felt were throws where he's having to see the receiver break open as opposed to anticipating where the receiver is going to be, and that caused him to throw some balls where the ball placement was an issue. That was something that I had a beef with him, where the receiver did not have the ability to run after the catch because of where Trubisky placed the ball. And one of his favorite targets is Ryan Switzer, who I think very highly of. And there were a number of plays where I can remember Ryan Switzer bailing him out. But, a receiver like that doesn't have a large catch radius. You really have to be accurate and hit him in stride. And it seemed like there were times where Switzer's getting open in the middle of a zone and Trubisky is not anticipating that he's going to get open there, and he's not recognizing where the hole is going to be on the defense, and he's throwing it once it's already open, and of course the defense has the opportunity to close at that point. So that would be one of the negatives. And then on his deep ball, there were too many where he's underthrowing the receiver, where the receiver is having to work back or slow down to catch the football. And that's something that we saw. While Jay Cutler had a very strong arm, that was something that he had issues with. And I think that boiled down to anticipation with Jay Cutler as well, not anticipating that the receiver is going to break open and throwing it on time, but throwing the ball a bit too late, where the receiver now is beginning to outrun where the football is going to land. And those are the things, the biggest knocks on him. And then, of course, the lack of experience. I wish he'd have gone back to school. And we had more tape on him. 13 starts is definitely something that is a cause for concern. And, of course, with those 13 starts, his play started to deteriorate. And then finally, in that bowl game, I have to question his toughness and his mental makeup. I don't know that he has that. He was harassed by Solomon Thomas regularly in that game, and he didn't seem to respond well to it. In the first half, he was utilizing his mobility and he looked okay, but then it seemed like the adversity got to him and he wasn't all there. I mean, there was a simple play where this play has been dissected, but there was a play where he thought Stanford was in cover two. I believe it was the free safety rotates down to the robber position and picks him up. Just simple reads that he should be able to make. Yeah, these are things that he's going to have to be able to do when he comes to the NFL. He's going to have to be able to recognize coverages. And if safeties rotate post-snap, you can't just have a predetermined read and a predetermined throw. That play, he decided where he was going with the football pre-snap and just throws it there as soon as the ball is snapped. And it didn't matter what the safety did. The safety rotates down. He needs to eat that football, look elsewhere, and he didn't do that. I mean, that's nitpicking one play, but those are the kinds of things that you want to see him do. If you only have a 13-game sample size, you want to see consistency throughout those 13 games. I'm not saying that any quarterback is a perfect prospect. They all come with questions. You can find bad from Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes. But, you know, as far as this goes for me, like I said, I don't know. There are a number of quarterbacks that can develop into starters in this draft. It's all about them going to the right situation. You know, by tomorrow I'll be pulling for this kid, but as of right now, I think they overpaid to move up, and I'm not crazy about this selection. This is my fourth-ranked quarterback, so I can't get behind the move. You know, I can't get behind giving up the two picks this year and another selection next year. If he blows this, I mean, this is the kind of thing that gets you fired.
Here in Chicago, the Chicago Sun-Times printed an article a day or two ago where a reporter asked a bunch of Chicago Bears players about Mike Glennon and his leadership. And he was getting all sorts of great endorsements from the players. They were saying that he's been calling guys together, practicing with them. He's showing all of these incredible leadership abilities. Josh Bellamy was one of the guys quoted. And so what do you think this does to that locker room, to that clubhouse of players, that they have been kind of looking at Mike Glennon as the number one quarterback for 2017, and he probably will be. They'll probably groom Trubisky. But does that kill the morale a little bit when you go ahead and you trade away assets to move up one slot to pick a young quarterback?
I think it's going to be split because I think some of the older players on the roster, I mean, those guys want to win now, regardless of the shape that the roster's in or any roster deficiencies. I mean, those aren't the things that they're concerned with. They want players on the field. They're going to give them the best opportunity to win now. And having more draft selections would have only helped the Chicago Bears fill more of those roster holes. So I think some of those players wouldn't be happy about giving up the assets to move up and take the quarterback. I think there are going to be others that are excited about it. I think if Mike Glennon went out and had a great season and then the Bears went out and drafted a quarterback, then you would have many more players in the locker room that are not happy about the selection. But being that he's just coming in this season and he hasn't had the opportunity to play with this team and they haven't had the opportunity to see what he can do on the field, I think it's going to be much more split in the locker room in terms of which players are supportive of this selection and giving up the draft assets and which ones would have been happier with selecting players that they felt would have contributed immediately.
Now, we are recording this about an hour after the Bears made the pick. Can you describe for me what was your feeling when the Bears made the pick and what your feeling is now?
What are the stages of grief, mourning? So, anger was definitely first. I mean, I was shocked that they moved up just the one selection. And then it's, all right, well, what did they give up to come up one spot? And then when I find out what they gave up, I mean, I'm saying, what the fuck? Then the selection comes through. I was pretty pissed off. When they came up, I said, this has to be for a quarterback. And my exact words were, if this is for Mitch Trubisky, this is going to completely shit on this draft for me. And I don't know that I'll want to watch any more of it. But now I think I've accepted it. You know, I just based on the tape, I can see qualities that a general manager or a coach would like in this player in terms of the physical tools, but it's not so much the physical tools that scare me with him, although it's more the interviews that I've seen with him. I'm not impressed with him at all. I feel like he seems immature and he just seems like the kind of guy that I'd smack the shit out of, honestly. Like, if I can just be as frank as possible and get a little hood on you, it doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to command a locker room where he's going to come in there and the vets are going to get behind them. Because, you know, people said similar things about Eli Manning, but Eli Manning, although he's quiet, he commanded the respect of his teammates. I can't see it with Trubisky in that way. And that bothers me, because a player that can come in here and be the face of the franchise is what I wanted. You know, I'm hoping that Ryan Pace has a lot more information on him. Obviously he does than we do, but you know, the rumors are that they didn't have a lot of contact with him. So I just don't know how much you could have really gathered if you didn't sit this kid down and really get to know who the person is, not just, you know, the quarterback and what he can do on the field.
I saw the John Gruden interview with him at Gruden's quarterback camp on ESPN, and I was really unimpressed, as you were just saying, in terms of his demeanor and the presence that he has. He does come off as a young guy who doesn't look like he's ready at all to command an NFL locker room. So clearly he'll be sitting. But let me see if I can play a little bit of this right now and see if you can hear it, and then maybe we can comment on it. This is off of YouTube, Gruden's quarterback camp.
There's a rumor going around at the combine that Mitch or Mitchell, which do you prefer?
I don't have a preference. My mother wants me to go by Mitchell, but they made it out of a huge story and big deal at the combine.
Yeah, definitely somebody you want to smack around.
Mitchell, it really doesn't matter to me, but it's my mom will appreciate that.
My mama says foosball is the devil.
You get a chance to be the starter at North Carolina, you just get one shot. That's all you are, is a one-year starter in college, aren't you?
That's it.
Went 8-5, 13 career starts. So it's not the biggest body of work we've had.
Right.
Probably 13 career starts. But look at what you did. Almost 4,000 yards passing, 30 touchdown passes. Look at the school records. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But you're a dual threat, aren't you? I mean, you had almost 450 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns. I did not know that about you until I really started studying the tape. And almost 68% completion. So there's a lot to like. And a 350-pound, what is that, a hand clean?
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. Sure. How are you handling?
Strong kid.
Because this is new to you. You were an obscure backup quarterback.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, hey, this Trubisky, he's a first rounder. The Jets, look at the Jets. Everybody wants you. They're in love with you. How are you? Mel Kiper loves you. How are you handling all this sudden fame?
I think I'm handling it pretty well. It's kind of just funny to me. It's strange to see, but I mean, the media is going to take things and run with it, and some of these are big stories. But I just stick to my business and do what I need to do week to week and continue to get better. But I mean, it doesn't really mean much to me.
How's that kid going to do with the Chicago media?
Mitchell. Yeah, and his body language is kind of hunched over. It's not
He carries himself like a 15-year-old who's like just coming through puberty, and he's still really unsure of himself.
Yeah, he reminds me of Lauren Cox.
Still fucking Jim Sock.
And really just continue to develop.
You know, when I showed you those pictures of the spring game and no one was there except your three friends dancing in the stands.
Yep.
And you said initially when you walked in here, I wanted to go to North Carolina and make it a football school. Don't you look at pictures like this and feel like mission accomplished?
You're showing some images of the fans going wild.
It's North Carolina's a different football program from when I first got there to what it is now. And that's what it's all about.
Elevated the program, I guess.
Marcus Williams had nothing to do with that. That's football right.
Well, any final thoughts here? I wanted to get your instant reaction on this shocking, truly shocking move by Ryan Pace. Moves up one slot to pick Mitchell Trubisky, trades away 2 third rounders, a fourth rounder. Any concluding reaction here?
Well, as a fan, I hope he's right. As an analyst, you know, I'm always convicted. My opinions are always very strong. I'm not always right. So I hope in this instance I'm wrong. But as an analyst, this isn't the quarterback that I would have staked my job on and my reputation. You know, one thing that does make sense is that Dow Loggins' offense – there were a lot of short to intermediate throws, and I think he can do that. But I don't know how long Dow Loggins is going to work here. So me being the general manager, I'm not bringing in a quarterback for Dow Loggins. I'm bringing in a quarterback that I feel is going to transcend any system and is going to come in here and be a leader, and we'll be able to handle a regime change if that's what happens. I'm not crazy about this. The one thing that I will say is that, you know, we all said, well, I don't know about all of us, but as far as Phil, Shane Marsall, myself, we said, if you identify your quarterback and you feel convicted that he is a franchise quarterback, you have to go grab him. You can't risk losing that player, and he did do that. I got to give him that much. I got to give Ryan Pace that much. You know, he showed that he wasn't afraid to make the move. Now, moving up one selection and paying that much, I think it's stupid. I mean, before we began recording, I equated it to going to a car dealership and telling the dealer that the sticker price is way too low and just throwing another 10 grand at him. Just take my money, please. I'll take the rust proofing. Fuck yeah.
Well, so, excuse me for interrupting, but the other key thing is that, you know, now you don't have a third round pick. So when you pick 36 in round second, you're not going to pick again. I don't know which round four pick they gave up, the 111 or 117, but you're not going to pick again for another
117, I believe. 117. They still have 111.
So you're going to pick 80 picks later. So, you know, they really got to find a super stud at number 36. Now, you had, in your mock, you had Malik McDowell, and you had a trade, so Zay Jones. So if they pick one of those two guys, or Akili Witherspoon, another second-rounder that you targeted for the Bears, if they pick one of those three guys, will you then be happy with what's transpired after 2 days in the draft, or will you be disappointed?
It's going to be difficult to be completely happy regardless of who they grab at 36 because of the assets that they gave up and because I'm not completely high on this prospect. In terms of the quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks, this was the one that I was the least confident in. And we know that Pat Mahomes is boom or bust and has a lot of fundamental flaws, but you know, much higher ceiling. So I would have been more excited about the Bears moving up to 2 and grabbing Pat Mahomes. And I know a lot of fans would not be happy with that. You know, there are a number of players that could slide to that 36th selection that are worthy of being selected in the first round and would probably go in the top 20 in a lot of drafts. But, you know, this draft is deep, so they could grab another starter there, another impact player. If they do that, obviously it's going to ease some of it. I would hope that they can grab another player there that's going to make an immediate impact or at least – stick for 10 years. If they grab a second round bust and they gambled on this quarterback too, it makes it a little bit harder to swallow when you look back at a draft. How many times can we go back and look at the Chicago Bears draft history? You know, you look at the last 15 years and you look at the players that were selected after the Bears. You know, Shea McClellan comes to mind. Chandler Jones goes after Shea McClellan. Kyle Fuller was selected ahead of Clinton Dix. In that draft in particular, I remember wanting C.J. Mosley. I mean, C.J. Mosley hasn't exactly been a superstar, but you look back at all of these drafts and you're disgusted most of the time. I just hope that this isn't one of those.
All right, Jose. I'm going to go back to drinking. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm not drinking. That's another problem. I am not drinking right now. I want to drink. There was no alcohol here, so I asked for antifreeze, but they wouldn't oblige. They didn't bring me the fucking antifreeze. I said turpentine, gasoline, antifreeze, something, cyanide.
Well, I am drinking a pint of a beer called Arrogant Bastard Ale, and the tagline is, "You're not worthy," and that's what I feel right now about Mitchell Trubisky. He's not worthy of all the assets the Bears traded in order to acquire him. But I'm like you. I'm a Chicago Bears fan through and through. I'm going to be rooting for this guy. And actually, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to root that he can sit a year or two and mature and grow and become a leader, learn from Mike Lennon, and hopefully the Bears will win some games and we don't pick again in the top 20 picks for a long, long, long time. So that's how I feel, and I appreciate you taking time from draft night to talk to us. We will talk to you later, brother.
Thanks for having me, man.
Okay, Bears fans, we're going to have much more draft coverage over the next few days. We're going to have video of Mitchell Trubisky along with comments from Jose and Danny Shimon. We're going to cover this up and down, left and right, inside out. So make sure you visit bearsbarroom.com over the weekend. We're going to have information on all of the draft picks for the Chicago Bears, and we'd love to hear your feedback on these players that the Bears have acquired. So remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.
San Francisco was going to take Thomas regardless. It feels that way, like they were going to take Solomon Thomas anyway.
Yeah, it feels like Ryan Pace was totally played. Totally played.
Yeah.
San Francisco, Lynch was... Hey Ryan, I got a couple of other guys on the line right now. They want our pick badly. They want to pick Mitchell Trubisky. Let me put you on hold. And then when they have him on hold, they're going.
Yeah,
this motherfucker's gonna give me two.
The Browns are on the phone.
Let me see if I can get another third from him. Hey Ryan, listen, these guys really want Trubisky. Throw in another third and I'll do it. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what fucking happened there.
Yeah. John Lynch just bent them over and gave them the big one. And then they they tweeted, the San Francisco 49ers account tweet out a picture of Solomon Thomas about to sack Mitch Trubisky.